I don't know about you, but sometimes we learn some very important lessons of life on some very unexpected occasions or some really unexpected times. There is a story told about a community of people that had been lacking rain for months. And the people gathered together and they said, "What must we do? No rain. The crops are failing. What do we do?" And an older lady came forward and she said, "We need to pray. We need to pray to God that He will provide us with rain." And they said, "That is a good plan. Tonight, 8 o'clock, let's meet and let's pray." That same night, all the people came to the place where they would meet, and guess what? There was a little girl, and she had taken her umbrella with her. That is faith. And that is about life. Life teaches us some very important lessons, sometimes at some very uncommon moments, and some very uncommon situations and circumstances. In the book of Proverbs, it says in verse 30, Proverbs 30, verse 24, "Four things are small on the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they provide their food in the summer. The rock badgers are a people not mighty, yet they make their homes in the cliffs. The locusts have no king, yet all of them march in rank. The lizard you can take in your hands, yet it is in king's palaces. Three things are statutely in their threat, four are statutely in their stride. The lion, which is mightiest among beasts, and does not turn back before any, the strutting rooster, the he-goat, and a king whose army is with him." And so when we think about life, the book of Proverbs, the great King Solomon told his young son, but even by implication, all of us, "Four things are very small on the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. Number one, the ants are a people not strong." Now, most of us have seen ants at some point, right, in our lives. You put them on the tip of your finger, and it's almost like, "Oh, wow, that is small. Anything can break it, anything can even kill it. It doesn't take much. It doesn't take much power. It doesn't take much in order to kill an ant." But what does it say? It says, "Yet they provide their food in the summer." They understand that winter is too cold. They understand that in winter time there is less food. They understand by their God-given instinct, the summer is the time when we need to provide. And we see in the summer, ants are always busy. They're going from A to B. They're going from one place to another place. And really, it teaches us an important lesson. As you just said, even with the Lord's Supper, Freddie, before the difficult moments come, make your commitment, make your faith, so that when the difficult time is coming, you are ready to face it in a healthy, in a wise, in a good way. It says, "The rock badgers are a people not mighty, yet they make their homes in the cliffs." A rock badger is like a rabbit. kind of a rabbit. And they understand, where is my strength? I don't have much strength in order to protect myself when that great eagle is preying on me. What can I do when the eagle is coming down? So the rock badger, by their instinct, say, I just go underneath the rock because the eagle will never be able to come there and I will be safe. The locust have no king, yet all of them march in rank. Can you imagine? No king. Anarchy, usually. That is what usually happens when there is no king, when there is no leader, when there is no strategy, when there is no ruler. But what do the locusts do? Their instincts say, if we go and march together, we can raid that field of barley. We can raid that field of oats, and nothing will be left. The lizard you can take in your hand, yet it is in the king's palace. Who has ever been in the king's palace? Who has ever met Mark Rutte? Who has ever met, and you might name a name of importance, a name of a king from your own specific country? Well, the lizard, one day, he is just outside enjoying the sun, and the next day, he's in the king's palace. Brothers and sisters, animals, they teach us some very important lessons. We think about the dogs. What do we think about when we think about dogs? Faithfulness and loyalty. They're always happy. They're always there. They're always waiting for you. They always enjoy to be petted. They always enjoy. And whether life is good or life is bad for you, they're always happy. They're always coming towards you to share their fidelity and their loyalty and their faithfulness. Today we want to talk about the geese. It is autumn. This morning when we drove up in the car to Eindhoven, Ada even mentioned it. She said, look at the trees. The trees are already starting to get a little bit of the brown colors, the red color sometimes even, the beautiful red color. But autumn is coming. Autumn is here. And what do we usually see in autumn? In autumn, we see again those geese that are flying in that V formation. And today, we would like to learn some lessons from the geese that are flying in that specific way. Lesson number one. When a geese flaps its wings, an updraft is created for the bird flying directly behind it. So that V formation is not just by accident. It is not that the geese have thought, well, that just happens to be a good way of flying. The geese have instinct. And the geese, when they're flying in that V formation, they're flying in the exact right way. And you sometimes see even that V changing. Sometimes it flaps this way. Sometimes it flaps this way. And the reason why is that there is an updraft from the bird in front of them that makes it easier to fly. You might compare that to driving with your car behind a truck. When you drive with your car behind a truck and you look at your gas meter, or you drive just right against up into the wind and you look at your gas meter and you see a big difference. And that is what happens with geese. They fly in that formation in order to help one another. And brothers and sisters, Freddie, you mentioned it already in your thoughts with the Lord's Supper. But what is Christianity? What is true Christianity? What is the heart of true Christianity? The heart of true Christianity is you love God, Matthew chapter 22, and you love your fellow man as you love yourself. And that means you are a helper to your fellow man. You are a helper to your fellow brother and sister. And so in the book of Philippians, we see that concept rather clearly spoken about with the great example of Jesus Christ when it says, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each one of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Brothers and sisters, what does this tell us? This tells us that in true Christianity, your eyes are not only focused on yourself, your eyes are also focused on the other. There is a statement in Acts chapter 2 that always amazes me. And that statement is, they had favor with all people. Those early believers, what did they do? When it was needed, they could even sell a piece of land, bring the proceeds to the apostles' feet, and tell the apostles, give it to those who are in need. I don't know about you, but sometimes I wonder that why has true Christianity lost so much color even today? Yesterday night, we had a neighbor barbecue. And one of the questions that came up, of course, what kind of work do you do? Well, I love that question when they ask me, what kind of work do you do? And there were at least 5-6 people that I talked to. But what was interesting to me is that most of those people, they said, oh, well, yeah, I was raised Catholic. Oh, I was raised Protestant. Oh, I was raised in that church. And I was raised in that church. And then, of course, you know what happens next. Then they say, well, you know, this happened, and it cost me to say goodbye to Christianity. This happened, and it cost me to say goodbye to what I was raised in. And of course, we know sometimes people use it as an excuse. But I think again, when I hear a statement like that, then I learn a lesson, the importance of unity in Christianity. How important is unity in Christianity? You look at Acts chapter 2 again. They had favor with all people. Why? They were united. They were sharing together when needed. They were helping one another. They shone through their commitment towards one another. And brothers and sisters, I would like to share and say that if we want to survive as church, if we want to survive, if we want truly to live the ideal, the way that God designed this church, we need to be servants of one another. We need to be united and fly together and help our brothers and our sisters to make the burdens of life easier. That is so important in true Christianity. And what happens? the testimony in the world will be again, they will stand in favor with all people. At least to me, why did Muslims get a foot on the ground in the 6th century? At least to me, one of the answers is true Christianity had lost its true color. Maybe not the only reason, but one of the reasons, at least to me, true Christianity had lost their true color. False teaching had crept in. A lot of things had crept in. They were fighting. They were fussing. And true Christianity lost its true color. What is the answer? The answer is true Christianity need to return. Yes, I like the restoration movement, returning towards the New Testament. Returning to the New Testament in doctrine, returning to the New Testament in lifestyle. And what does that mean? We serve one another as we have opportunity. So important. Lesson number two. If a goose falls out of formation, it suddenly feels air resistance and a counterforce from wanting to try it alone. And quickly, he goes back into formation to take advantage of the updraft of the bird in front of him. What does that mean? That means, brothers and sisters, we need to stay in formation. Not only because of the benefits of formation, but we need to stay in formation. Colossians chapter 3 says in verse 12, put then on as God's chosen, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Brothers and sisters, I am not perfect. And I need your commitment to stay in formation. Because that is God's design for the church, to stay in formation. And again, it says, we need to put on compassionate hearts. Why? Sometimes my brothers and my sisters disappoint me. Sometimes I disappoint my brothers and my sisters. We need to have compassionate hearts. It says we need to put on kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. Brothers and sisters, I'm not perfect. And I need you to bear with me. Don't fight with me. And of course, that doesn't mean that you can never say, Gert-Jan, can we please have a little talk? Because that is sometimes needed. But we need to do it in love. We need to do it with compassionate hearts. We need to do it, as Galatians chapter 6 will tell us, if anyone is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore him in the spirit of gentleness. In my experiences with churches, most of the problems that has arisen in churches were not necessarily doctrinal issues. Many times they were personal issues. Sometimes it was made a doctrinal issue in order to say, hey, I need to leave or I need to do this, but so many times. Personal issues has crept into the church too often and too many times. And that is why the Bible says you need to bear with one another. You need to help one another. You need to strengthen one another. Let the peace of Christ dwell in your hearts. What did Christ do when the world was against him? He kept on doing what his Father wanted him to do. Romans says, when we were still enemies, he died for us. When we were going against Christ, what did Christ do? Christ came toward us. The Bible calls it overcome evil with good. And brothers and sisters, again, if we want to survive as a church, it is so important that we learn to bear with one another. And again, that doesn't mean you can never speak up. It actually means you do need to speak up when something is out of formation. But you do it in a spirit of love and compassion and patience, knowing that if we don't help him, he will end up in the hands of Satan. Is that what we want? That's not what we want, brothers and sisters. Lesson number three. When the goose flying in front of one gets tired, it will move to another place in the formation, and another goose will take its place. So the geese that is up front, of course, has the biggest resistance. He gets all the wind right full in his own body. But he keeps on flying because he is thinking about his partners. He is thinking about his brothers and his sisters. He knows, I have the strength, I can fly up front. But then, when the moment comes that he cannot do it anymore, then he goes to another place in the formation and another one takes his place. Isn't that beautiful? Shouldn't we sometimes be a little bit ashamed as people? And most importantly, maybe as believers? How are we doing? Do we use our gifts that we have been given? Romans chapter 12 tells us about our gifts. 1 Peter talks about the gifts that we have been given that we need to use. Brothers and sisters, are we using our talents in the church? Do we give to God what belongs to him? There is a parable that says he was given 5 pounds. And when the Lord returned, he said, I made another 5 pounds. There was one with 2. He made another 2. There was one with 1. And he said, Lord, I knew you were hard. Here is your 1 talent back. Brothers and sisters, are we using our talents in the church? Are we giving what God has given to us? Is your gift a gift to yourself? Our gifts are gifts from God. And we need to serve one another with our gifts. We need to learn and see when someone is struggling, that we will say, can we take your place? Because I see that you're struggling. when someone is having a hard time, can we say, please sit down, I will take your task? Do we have the eyes of Jesus? Do we have the feet of Jesus? We learn some important lessons from the geese. Lesson number 4. The geese in the back yelps to encourage the fleas flying in front of them to maintain their speed. It is important that our gagging from behind is encouraging. This is so important. Be an encourager at all times. When was the last time that you went up to Hans or to Ants and said, you know, I know that you are teaching different people. How can we help you? Is there anything that we can do for you? And the list goes on. We can speak about everybody. When was the last time that you were gagging in front with your brother and sister and said, you know, I believe in you. You're doing a good job. Is there anything that we can serve you with? Is there anything that we can help you with? The book says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Brothers and sisters, it is so important how we talk. It is so important how we speak. And the Bible basically says, whenever you open your mouth, words need to come out that will build up. Words need to come out that will be an encouragement. Words need to come out that is building up as fits the occasion. Brothers and sisters, this is probably one of a great challenge. I say it with respect, but sometimes you talk to people in the church and they start to talk about all the things that are possibly wrong. They speak about all the things that they might possibly would do a little bit differently. And I would like to say that is not right. We need to speak in an encouraging way. Now, of course, that does not mean when there is some concern that you cannot say, I have a concern. And again, we need to speak up when there is a concern. But as the wife said to the husband, it is not what you said, it is how you said it. And brothers and sisters, let us all be informed that the way we speak is so important. A good word can build up, and an evil word can tear down. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. Philippians 2, 14 and 15. Do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. When you come at work tomorrow, what happens? A lot of people start to complain. They start to murmur. They start to talk about the things that they don't like. They start to talk about all the things that happened in the weekend that were not going according to what they were thinking. Brothers and sisters, we need to be different. We need to be the kind of people that speak in an upbuilding way. And again, that does not mean that you cannot say, I'm concerned about this, or brothers and sisters, we need to talk about this or talk about that. As much as in your own merits, sometimes you need to have a good talk. But it's not the talk that makes the difference. It's the way you speak that makes the difference. Lesson number 5. If a goose gets sick or is injured in any kind of way and it falls out of formation, 2 other geese will also get out of formation and follow it to the ground and help it and protect it. When you read about those things, it even says if the geese is going to die, they will stay with the geese until the moment comes that he breathes at his last. They know what service is all about. They know what helping is all about. They understand something about serving until death do us part. Does that ring a bell to you? What about Ruth and Naomi? Beautiful words. Your God is my God. I will die where you die. That is Christianity. It's no wonder that in Acts chapter 2, they say they had favor with all people. They were living the way that God had intended them to live. And brothers and sisters, today we are invited to go deeper into that kind of relationship with our brothers and with our sisters. In 1 John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. How do we know love? Our grandma loves us. We love our grandma. We love this girl or we love this boy. Love has a lot of different definitions in this world. But listen to the Bible definition of love. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we are to lay down our lives for the brothers. So how do we know love? By looking at Jesus Christ. By looking at Jesus, who came into a world that rather had darkness instead of the light. But what did Jesus do? Did he stop? Did he stop and say, Father, they don't want me? They don't want my service? No, Hebrews chapter 10, I came to do your will, O God. And brothers and sisters, that should be our thought. That should be our thought when we have seen the love of God for us. When we have experienced the love of God in our own personal life, in our own personal way, he died for me. He went to the cross because of me. He went to the cross because of my sin. And he went there willingly to overcome the problem that I had. And so, brothers and sisters, we are to enrich one another. We are to look into one another's lives and say, what can I do for you to serve you? How can I help you? How can I support you? That is the lesson that we learn from the geese flying in that beautiful V formation. The next time you see them flying, look at your own life. Examine your own life and see the design of true Christianity. And if this world needs one thing, it needs true Christianity in its true colors. That can change the world. That will change the world. Amen.